know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. The regular season is in the books. BJ is back from load management. Scott's still here as well. Fellas, I'm on 100 right now. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, Mo, you cleared your vocal cords on that one. I can't recall you holding a note that long. But I'm doing great. And I'm gonna start, you know how we do sometimes on the Hoop Genius podcast. When I come on here, we'll talk all the sports. We'll talk a lot of football. But let me give a little shout out to golf. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch the Masters, the drama in the theater, which were the Masters, and to watch Rory McIlroy persevere, really, to become the sixth guy to win the career Grand Slam. It was much watched TV, especially for some, if you're really into golf, too. Just the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows from, like, unbelievable shots to poor shots and, you know, up and down the leaderboard. It was just really fun to watch, and happy for him because he's been 11 years trying to get this final leg of the Grand Slam, career Grand Slam in golf, which is the Masters. So kudos to him, but I enjoyed it. So I had a good time watching the Masters yesterday.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of golf. But you know, this show is brought to you by NBA 2K25. This is not an advert, what I'm about to say, but I have been having loads of fun playing PGA 2K25 on the PlayStation. I created my golfer. I hit a hole in one in Scottsdale. It was thrilling.
Okay.
So if any of you guys want to give it a try, PGA 2K25 is very fun. But here's my question, right, Scott, as you're more kind of into golf than me. Now, with Rory McIlroy winning this, did the media immediately make a segment about having an asterisk on this championship because Tiger Woods was injured? And did the media immediately say, does this now put him in the GOAT conversation? And did the media immediately talk about LeBron James despite the fact LeBron James wasn't competing? Or is that just NBA media?
None of the above to that. You know, obviously Tiger is over 50, approaching 50 or at 50 years old. This is Rory's time. And the number one golfer in the world right now is a guy by the name of Scottie Scheffler, who was the defending champion of this tournament. And I believe Scottie finished fourth in this tournament. Played well, but just not quite well enough to repeat. So, no, you didn't hear any of that. It was all about Rory and his journey, really, to get here. And rightfully so. It should have been about that. And there were a lot of other great golfers that were part of it. You know, the final pairing was he and a guy by the name of Bryson DeChambeau, who's a big name over here in the U.S. And but, no, we didn't pivot to that. It was Rory's time to shine, and rightfully so. And he got all the flowers he deserved, and there was no pulling of anybody else.
Maybe that's just an NBA thing. But over here, we like to keep it about the basketball. So we are going to break down the upcoming play-in fixtures and have a look at some of the playoff matchups that have been set already. Mr. Armstrong, you have been very quiet so far. Yes. Did you lose your voice in a week away? What's happened?
I'm just watching. I'll be watching, Mo. I've been watching okay. You guys.
I have one more non-basketball question before we get to before we get to the play-in. You and Scotty on the golf course, who's winning that?
Scotty.
Yeah?
Scotty.
That's just because I've been playing a lot. That's all.
Yeah, Scotty is terrific at golf.
I don't know. Terrific is not the word, but I'm an improved golfer.
Mr. Perry, there's some nice golf courses over in my part of the world. You might want to come and check out sometime.
Absolutely. So, Mo, when I make it over, you got to set me up. Can you set me up over at Carnoustie?
I can pull some strings, but I'm going to tell you this. I can do top golf, and that's about as far as my expertise goes. I need some lessons. But BJ, we're going to start with you over in the Western Conference.
Oh, no. Okay.
This is exciting times. I'm excited for this one. The new-look Golden State Warriors, who traded for Jimmy Butler halfway through the season and drastically improved after the trade, faced the Memphis Grizzlies, who made a change of their own by firing their head coach just a week and a half ago. They play in the 7-8 matchup, the winner becomes the seventh seed to take on Houston Rockets. The loser gets another chance at it. But who do you think is winning the first play-in in the Western Conference?
And who's the seventh seed?
The Warriors are seventh.
The Warriors, seventh. Warriors, so Warriors, yeah, so they're hosting.
They'll be hosting the Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm going to choose the Golden State Warriors for the simple reason they have experience. There's been a lot of change there in Memphis. And I think the big three of Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, I think they pulled that out at home. So I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors.
What about you, Scott?
I agree with that. I have got one small concern, though. At the end of the game last night, yesterday afternoon, the Warriors and Clipper game, Jimmy Butler took a knee to the thigh. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess he said after the game that he's feeling okay, but, you know, it's 48 hours from now. As we well know, those things can really stiffen and tighten up. As long as he's good enough to go and healthy enough, I'm going to stick with that Warriors pick. Now, if he's not, then I'm a little concerned for the Warriors. But I'm going to go Warriors right now until I hear anything different on the health.
That was a very interesting game that we had happen yesterday. Were you guys surprised that the Clippers took the win in that?
No, the Clippers have been playing good basketball. Extremely well coached. They're defending. You know, I've watched them a couple times over the past week, and I can't recall at any point in his career James Harden playing the level of defense that he's been playing that I watched. Mm-hmm. And kudos to him, man. I've got much respect for him. And it just goes to show you how mental defense can be. And it's just making your mind up that you want to commit yourself to at least be a good team defender. And that's the reason why this team is playing a lot better now. We know what he's going to give you offensively, but he's improved defensively. Kawhi Leonard is playing terrific basketball, and he's healthy. Those two guys together like that in the group defending, Zubac has improved. We talked about this more when we talked about our awards for the most improved player. His size and just his ability to finish around the basket, rebound, and his confidence is up. They have depth. Ty Lue's not afraid to use different combinations throughout the course of the game. This is a dangerous team. They really are. So that's going to be an interesting series against the Denver Nuggets. And I would not be surprised if the Clippers did come out on top.
Yeah, I want to shout out to Chris Dunn as well, because he's become one of the best guard defenders in the NBA. Well, he's always been a good defender, but he's been fantastic for them. Zubac last night, 22 points and 17 boards. Now, BJ, with the Warriors facing Zach Edey in the next game, another oversized player against an undersized Golden State Warriors team that plays Draymond Green at the five, do you see that being a potential problem for the Warriors and, you know, could ultimately lead to their downfall?
Absolutely. You know, they have size, talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, and they also have speed in Ja Morant. It should be a very entertaining game. I think it's going to be both teams could very easily win this game because of the advantages that they pose to the other side. So the speed and quickness, size of the Memphis Grizzlies versus the experience and the basketball experience, championship caliber experience that they have there in Golden State. So we'll see. I'm gonna go with the home team, but this could easily go either way. And it should be a very entertaining game. And you know, you never know. You know the size, you know, we've seen it for years with the Golden State Warriors. However, you know, Zach Edey, this is his first round. So we'll see how he responds, but he could very easily be a very key player for them and for the Memphis Grizzlies fan base. I'm sure they're hoping that that happens, but we'll see how it plays out.
Well, they play the double big with Zach Edey and Jaren Jackson Jr. Scott, do you see the Warriors making maybe a change to their starting lineup, maybe putting Looney in at the five so that they can have Draymond Green on Jaren Jackson, who's been Memphis's best player so far this season?
I don't know. I can see that combination, you know, them changing up combinations as we go. I believe the Warriors are going to, you know, start who they believe is going to give them the best chance, and that's probably the group that's been starting here lately, and maybe force, you know, Memphis to play their way. You know, it's you know, that old saying, styles makes fights. So who's going to get the game played on their terms? Because on the one hand, if the game slows down and becomes grinded out, and there's post-ups and the size really comes into play, does that take Ja Morant out of some of the action for Memphis, even though that's the strength of Memphis, having the size advantage? And then on the other side, Golden State, that likes to get up and down and free flow, that's going to be beneficial to Ja Morant coming the other end. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. And I believe the team and the coach in particular, who makes the best adjustments throughout the course of the game, is going to have the edge. And that's where you got to definitely give Steve Kerr the upper hand on this. The guy's championship coach, gold medalist coach in the Olympics. So his experience should play a big role, a big part when you're talking about the chess match that these games can often come down to. So you got to give him the edge in that area.
Yep. Both teams finished with 48 wins. Both teams have made major in-season changes. It's going to be one for the ages, but the winner will face the Rockets. The loser is going to face the winner of Kings Mavericks. The Kings are the ninth seed. They'll be hosting the Dallas Mavericks, who fell down after being the NBA finalist last season to now the 10th seed in the Western Conference. Who do you guys have winning that one?
I'm going to let BJ go first.
Oh, yeah. I want to say Sacramento. I'm going to say Sacramento. And just for this simple reason, I'm not sure who's available right now for the Dallas Mavericks.
Right.
Are they all, you know, are they in full form? You know, what's their health situation? Is Anthony Davis? I mean, he's kind of been in and out. I know he's come back as of late. So I'm going to pick the Sacramento Kings here to win this one at home, I believe. I believe they're playing at home there in Sacramento.
Yes, they're in Sacramento for sure. It's going to be an interesting game because you're looking at two teams that don't have a true point guard going into this matchup. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the Mavericks lost Kyrie Irving about a month or so ago. So that has impacted how they play. Now, I'm assuming, again, if they're at full strength with Anthony Davis and Derek Lively and the rest of the group, they can be formidable. But also this Kings team, you've got three former all-star caliber players who can put points up on the board. And it will be interesting to see if Sacramento is not clicking on all cylinders offensively, can they put together a good enough defensive effort? Because that has been their struggles. They're not a very good defensive team. Where Dallas is going to come in and try to hang their hat more defensively in this contest. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a tough matchup. It could go either way. But if I'm going to favor someone, I'll favor the Kings just slightly because of just the home court advantage and with both teams not having a point guard. If Dallas had a point guard,
then I would favor them. Kyrie's out for the season, but they've got Spencer Dinwiddie, who will probably be running point for them.
Yes.
The Kings fans will be up for it with the cowbells ringing off. I think this game for me is, okay, Anthony Davis, we traded for you. You're going to be playing against probably Keegan Murray at the four for the Kings. Let's see what you can do. This is the game that's going to show you, can you beat the guy?
Let's see, advantage Dallas with that matchup, but it'll be interesting to see. But because Keegan Murray plays out on the floor a lot more, too. Mm. And it's going to pull Anthony Davis away from the rim. Now, again, if Lively or Gafford is back there protecting the rim for Dallas, you know, that's, you know, strong for them. But now they're going to have to match up with Domantas Sabonis, who is, you know, one thing about him, he's going to give you an extreme effort at both ends of the floor. Plays hard, physical, doesn't have great length, not a great athlete, but he is going to fight you for 48 minutes. So he's going to make sure that you have your helmet strapped on tight when you play against him. So.
And they're not playing the Warriors, so he doesn't have to wear any padding on his chest in case Draymond Green's around. So,
Exactly. But only you can remember all that stuff, man. I can't.
I'm going to pick the Dallas Mavericks on this one.
You picked the Dallas Mavericks.
You know,
okay.
I know the Kings have got a lot of play-in experience with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine being residents in the play-in for many years with the Chicago Bulls. But I just think the size advantage for the Mavericks, and this is assuming that everyone's healthy, right? Because like you said, Scott, even if you're trying to get Anthony Davis to play on the perimeter, you've got Lively or Gafford that can be cleaning up on the inside. You've obviously got Klay Thompson, who's a big game player. We all know about Klay Thompson and what he's done in the playoffs and so on and so forth. For the Kings, they're in a tough spot. I mean, I don't really know what they're doing with the construction of their team. We've spoken about this, and it's a whole thing with what they've got going on. But I'm gonna pick the Dallas Mavericks for this one. But speaking of DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, the Chicago Bulls are in the play-in. Shock to everyone in the world. Chicago Bulls won 39 games and ended up in the play-in. Who saw this coming? Absolutely, no one could have predicted that.
And they have home court, right?
Yeah, they have home court. They're the Miami Heat. I'm not going to ask you right first, Scott, because I already know what your answer is going to be. BJ, who have you got winning this game?
I'm going with the Bullies. I have no reason to go for the Bulls, but I'm going with the Bulls. I'm going with the Bulls in this one, and I'm going to be a fan and go with the Bulls.
Okay. I mean, the Chicago Bulls are 7-3 over their last 10. They're on a 3-game winning streak coming into this. But Scott, you're about to tell me about Heat culture.
Yeah, no, Mo, one thing that you learn over time in life, whether it's in work, home, whatever, is consistency. And one thing I'm going to be is consistent here. I respect the improvement the Bulls have made down the stretch of this season, down the latter part of this season. However, I'm going to ride with the Miami Heat. They've been playing better. I know about a month ago, they were going through a horrendous slide. But I'm going to go with Eric Spoelstra and Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, and that group. They've been here, done that a lot of times. And I just believe in a one-game setting like this, I'm going to give them the slight advantage, even though it's on the road, that they're going to go in and figure out a way at least to survive this first round and give themselves a chance to play the loser of that 7-8 game.
Yeah, you know, Bam Adebayo and Tyler Herro have obviously got experience of making it to the NBA Finals a couple of times and, you know, escaping the play-in in the past as well. However, the Chicago Bulls, it's interesting to me because you obviously got Josh Giddey, who they traded for, and he's kind of, you got a contract negotiation coming up. He'll be looking to make himself a few extra bucks on the contract. But also players like Bezuelas, right, a rookie coming in, just with absolutely no fear, playing with house money here. He hit a huge shot the other day in a close game down the stretch. And I don't know whether that's an advantage because I feel like the Bulls will be playing this game, even though they're higher seed than the Heat, they'll be playing this game with a lot less pressure. But, you know, do you see that impacting this matchup? Like the Miami Heat obviously have these expectations to be the Miami Heat and make it to the playoffs, whereas the Bulls are now a young team just trying to figure things out. And it feels to me like they're just playing with house money at this point.
I couldn't agree more with you, Mo. And the Bulls right now, they are in an interesting situation. Because I think they've overachieved a little bit with this group. And I don't think many people have expected them. I didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you, what the Bulls were going to be this year, you know. But here they are in a nice seat. They have a Hall of Fame coach in Billy Donovan. Kobe White continues to, you know, his game is expanding. And here we are. I think it's going to be a good game. But you know, the Miami Heat are the Miami Heat. We've come to expect, you know, what we expect from Miami and what they're doing. I saw something the other night, something I hadn't seen, when Tyler Hero steals the ball and then just pulls up for a three. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And
Like, I understand that one though, because they were down four with 12 seconds left. I get the logic, but also just take the layup and get your 2 points and then go and get a stop. Come on, man.
I'm just watching.
I mean,
just
you can only take that shot if you know you're gonna make that shot. And the only person I trust doing that is Steph Curry. I don't know about no one else. If you're not Steph Curry, just go get your layup and there you go. All right. If you're Steph Curry, do what you want. But you know, you just mentioned Billy Donovan makes his Hall of Fame. Congratulations are in order for that. But also,
definitely congratulations to Billy for sure.
Also, congratulations to Scott's good friend, Mr. Chauncey Billups, on his contract extension over in Portland.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Well earned. A lot of times people use the term well deserved, but well earned. This team has played pretty good basketball the last couple months of the season, and Chauncey has really elevated this group, a younger group by and large. And you can just see the improvement of a lot of the younger players on this group, from Shaedon Sharpe, Donovan Clingan. The whole group really is improving, and they're buying in.
He should be on an all-defensive team this season, in my opinion. And who would have thought that when the Phoenix Suns traded DeAndre Ayton to Portland, and Kamara was included in that trade, and then they went and got Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. Who would have thought that this season, the Suns and the Blazers would both finish with 36 wins? Absolutely no one on earth would have believed you if you had told them that at the time. But here we are. Shout out to Chauncey. Let's look at the other play-in in the Eastern Conference, because the winner of Bulls Heat is going to face the loser of Magic Hawks. The winner of that has the joyous opportunity to face the Boston Celtics in the first round. But who are you guys rolling with, the Orlando Magic or the Atlanta Hawks? Scott, I know you're in Florida quite a lot, so you rolling with the home team?
No, I'm rolling with the Magic for sure. They're starting to play well here down the stretch, and that's important. They have some playoff experience from last year, but the duel of Banchero, Franz Wagner, they play hard. They're tough there at home. Overall, as a team, I like them defensively better than I do Atlanta. So I'm definitely going with the Magic to secure that seventh seed. And like you said, Mo, their thank you gift for that, or their reward or congratulations for that, is a date with the Boston Celtics.
BJ, how about you? You seeing any chance for the Hawks here? Dyson Daniels has been a standout defensively this season.
I really do. See a chance. We can't forget, because you and I, Mo, we were talking about this. The Atlanta Hawks were in the conference finals. What just about
feels like a lifetime years ago.
Yeah, it was a while.
It's crazy watching the Clippers game last night and
coming out of COVID.
Yeah, you're seeing Ben Simmons on the court for the Clippers, and I just thought a few years ago no one would have believed you if you said Ben Simmons would be back playing basketball and on a fifth seed in the West. But yeah, they've been on a steady decline since the Hawks made it to the conference finals. They've tried to rebuild with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young in the backcourt together. That didn't work out. They moved on from DeJounte Murray. I think they almost struck gold here with Dyson Daniels. But how are you looking at this for the matchup, VJ?
Well, I'm going to pick the Atlanta Hawks here. I'm going to pick the Atlanta Hawks to win this game. But I think the Orlando Magic, whoever wins the 9-10, I think both of these teams can win the play-in to get both of them to get in the playoffs. So I think the Atlanta Hawks, we'll see. Either way, I mean, Paolo is back, and they have a really good team. I think they, Scott mentioned that they were playing much better down the stretch here. So I think it'll be a good game, but I'm going to pick the Atlanta Hawks here on the road to advance and play against your Celtics, Mo, and have a little fun with that, little East Coast rivalry.
I don't know if I call it a rivalry.
But, we got
Mo. No Boston gear on the day. All last week, BJ, Mo was rocking the Boston gear.
Yeah, we got every show. We got week off, Scott. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right. Another,
another. How many games we win? 61 games. Another 60 win season. Rocking. Okay. Just a little new season Air Jordan collection. Shout out to the Jordan team. But I think I'm going to go with the Magic on this one.
Okay.
I think these one-off games is kind of where the stars can step up, and I'm relying on Paolo here to prove me right for what I said about him at the start of the season. So
yes,
We're going to see. It's tough. That one's a coin flip for me. But shall we now look at some of the matchups that have been set for the NBA playoffs, because we have some real good matchups. And I would be remiss if I started anywhere other than New York City, where they'll be facing your Detroit Pistons in the 3-6 matchup in the East. Scott, we're going to start with you because, you know, you spent a lot of time with the Knicks and you've helped build this team into what it is today. And I feel like you'll be a little bit less biased than Mr. Armstrong over there when it comes to talking about the Pistons. Just a little bit, though. Just a little bit.
This has the makings of a very fascinating series. And here's why I say that. If you want to take the experience factor, the experience component of the series, obviously that's going to be in the Knicks' favor. You know, and this group has been together, but, you know, Karl Anthony Towns has a lot of playoff experience. Jalen Brunson has a lot of playoff experience. Mikal Bridges has a lot. Josh Hart, OG Anunoby. So from that standpoint there, in my opinion, and having home court, you're going to favor the Knicks. However, the regular season does mean something. The Pistons beat this Knicks team 3 out of 4 times this year, and just as recent as a week ago. Now, it's the fascinating part of this series for me is going to be the matchups. And let's start at the guard position, where Cade Cunningham, in my opinion, is having an all-NBA season. Jalen Brunson is probably going to be all-NBA as well. But you got one guy that's 6'1", another guy that's 6'6". What we've seen when Jalen Brunson has had some difficulty has been with some size and athleticism that guards him throughout the course of the game. So the Pistons will have the luxury not only to start Cade Cunningham on him, but probably you will see Asar Thompson on him even more, along with Ron Holland. How does that play out over the course of a 7-game series? That will be fascinating to watch. Now, you know, Brunson is tough. He's competitive. He's going to be trying to figure it out. And again, he's got more experience. But they have the size and athleticism, they meaning Detroit, on that position. And then at the center position, again, you got Karl Anthony Towns, who's extremely skilled, can score the basketball with the best of them. But you've got two young, athletic, big people in Detroit, in Stewart and Jalen Duren, who are unafraid. That's 6 fouls, and they're going to play him extremely physical, which is not really Cat's game. Cat is much more of a finesse game. So in terms, I believe this Pistons team is maybe slightly tougher right now, more physical than the Knicks, and that may surprise you, but again, we talked about that earlier. The Knicks added skill with the acquisitions they made in the offseason, but I think they lost a little of the edge with Randle leaving and with DiVincenzo leaving. But with all that said, I'm gonna lean in on the experience, and I'm gonna favor the Knicks slightly in this series, but I think this series is gonna go 6-7 games. It's gonna be a fascinating one to watch.
Yeah, the Knicks added PJ Tucker, maybe not so much for his on-court production, but for that veteran toughness that he gave to the Milwaukee Bucks on their run to the championship where they traded him at a deadline. And, you know, he's made an impact immediately. When you're talking about the matchups with the point guard matchups, I feel like the Knicks will have Jalen Brunson guarding Asar Thompson anyway, because he's not as much of a scoring threat as the rest of the guys in that Pistons lineup, which then I think ideally, if you're the Knicks, you'd want OG Anunoby guarding Kay Cunningham, who could really cause him some problems because he's a big, strong physical defender. And so you're not too worried about the cross matches there and whatnot. However, Mr. Armstrong.
Well, but what you do, let me just say one thing you do will have to worry though. You got to keep Asar Thompson off the glass and see that Jalen Brunson, you know. So that's what I'm saying. It's going to be fascinating to watch this. Who do they put Brunson on? Obviously, when I believe Hardaway or Beasley, if one of them do start, that's probably where they're going to put him, because those guys hang out on the perimeter more and they're less threats in terms of going to the offensive glass. that's where they're going to try to play Brunson much, in my
Yeah.
opinion.
I think that Thompson and Josh Hart having the undersized rebounding battle will be one for the ages in this playoff series because, you know, they're both smaller guys who are active on the boards. But BJ, I know you've been waiting all week to talk about your Pistons. So tell us why you think the Pistons are making it to the second round of the NBA playoffs.
Well, first, shout out to the Detroit Pistons in the season that they had. The regular season, they were simply incredible. I mean, it's one of the more amazing stories and turnarounds has to be in the history of the NBA. To
Yes.
go from where they were just a year ago and to say now they are the sixth seed,
Yes.
and they are playing against the New York Knicks. The fan in me, I'm rooting for the Pistons. Make no doubt about and what they've done. They haven't even, you know, he's not emerging now. He's there. Cade Cunningham is a star. He has the potential to be the best player on the floor in this series.
Yes, no
He
question.
really does. Okay. But the key word, he has the potential. If I'm the New York Knicks, I'm going to be very cautious because this Detroit team poses all of the problems and
They
has
beat
the
them in
capability.
their last three matchups in a row, April, January, and December.
Okay, they are, first of all, they're young, they're athletic, they're big, and they're playing with house money now. Okay, and they have nothing to lose. When you say no pressure, they have no pressure. This Detroit Pistons team, they have to find one thing. They have to find big momentum because if big momentum starts rolling down the hill, this team has the capability
You're saying if they steal
to
game one, it can get out of hand.
well, again, they have no experience. You steal game
Right.
one.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
It only matters if you can, protect home court. So there's a lot of work to be done here, but there are a lot of stories that could come out of New York if this thing go that go if this thing goes sideways. Okay, if this thing goes sideways, I know who we will be talking about for the next week and a half if this goes sideways, because that is going to be a circus. So let's see what happens. I'm gonna say the New York Knicks because I think the New York Knicks and their locker room understand what this means. But if Detroit comes out and plays with that level of just free spirit and they go back home to Detroit and they are able to get momentum just rolling and all of a sudden Dern is dunking and my man
Oh.
Beasley is doing the shimmy and Cade is posting people. This could be a problem, okay? And the reason it's going to be a problem is because we know this coming into the series. There's going to be a limited amount of people who are going to play in the series for the New York Knicks. Okay? It's not like we know the bench is already is going to be, heightened. You know, or limited,
Well,
however you want to
shortened,
look at
yeah.
it. Yeah,
It's gonna be
short, I think
shortened.
is a better word. We know that coming in. Now, can you imagine if they go down 1-1 in game three in Detroit or 0-2 or whatever the case may be? This is going to be tough. Okay, this is going to be tough. But I think it's going to be entertaining. Certainly, we'll be watching.
Yes.
And but I'm going to pick the Knicks because of the experience. I mean, they have the experience, but this has the potential to be one of those, Scott, this matchup is this is a bad matchup. This is all wrong
Now,
for the New York Knicks. This is all wrong.
the playoffs are all about matchups. And
Yeah,
oh,
well,
no
this one
question. I
is a
think a couple months ago, I said on this show that I think the Pistons could win in the first round because I kind of had a look at the standings and projected where they are. And I don't know if both of you guys are taking a safe bet with the Knicks, but as an adopted nephew of the City of Detroit, I'm going to say it's Detroit versus everybody. And I'm going to roll with the Pistons on this one. What up, though? What up, though?
Hey,
I'll
Mo.
have my Pistons gear on, but I'm just, you know, playoffs is a different, this is a different animal. You know, everyone's going to point to the regular season and, but this is the playoffs.
The tension in the garden for game one is going to be thick. I can tell you that much.
Yo, yeah.
For game one, that very first game, because, and BJ knows this, having won two titles. When you're the road team, you put a lot into going and stealing that game one because there's so much more pressure on the home team.
Yes.
That first game. So much more pressure on the home team.
Yeah.
And one of two things happens with the home team. Number one, they come out and they play extremely tight,
Right.
you know, all the way through, or they just, you know, everything's clicking and they run, you know, they can run you out of the gym. There's usually not any much in between.
You know, if I were in the locker room with the Detroit Pistons, the very first quarter to me is going to set the tone for the rest of the series. If they win that first quarter, you're sending the message, we are here to fight. But
Well,
if they just win the first quarter.
did you see what I sent you yesterday, BJ? A quote from PJ Tucker.
No.
It was a
What was
quote
the quote?
after they played
I
the
did.
Pistons, okay? And this is what he said. He says, "They just out-toughed us. I just feel like down in the trenches like that in the playoffs this year, they're not calling nothing. The refs are letting a lot of stuff go both ways. With that happening, guys got to play different. We got to play different. We got to toughen up. It's more physical. We've got to toughen up." And then I read a report from a reporter who was asking PJ Tucker, "You know, you've just got to the team, right? But in every huddle, you're in the middle talking to everyone. Why are you doing that as the new guy?" He says, "Well, no one else was doing it when I got here. So I've had to shoulder that responsibility like I did in Milwaukee," and so on and so forth. But that is a little bit of a red flag for me, the fact that, well, you guys were having huddles and no one was really being vocal and talking for 90% of the season until PJ Tucker emerged. And then PJ Tucker talking about the physicality. He's not going to be a guy getting a lot of minutes in this series. There's only so much physicality he can give you off the bench, right? So we're going to ask the guys who are out there to toughen up at this stage. I just, that quote just, it struck something in my brain. I was just thinking, you know, come on, guys. What do you mean you got to toughen up? You're supposed to be tough. You're NBA players. This is the playoffs. Like, what are we doing? So,
No,
and
the
we
last game,
know.
it was clear. The last game that they beat the Knicks in. You,
Yeah. And
the Pistons were the tougher team.
we know the Pistons, they got no problem with toughness. We know, 1 through 5, they ain't got no problem with toughness, except for
No.
maybe, you know, when Giannis blocks Malik Beasley's 3-point attempt. There's a little not toughness. But apart from that, they're a tough squad. So I wouldn't be surprised. This one's 50-50 for me. I wouldn't be surprised with anything that happens.
What we know about this Pistons group, this group is keenly aware, A, of the city that they represent, and it's a very tough city, and B, they know the history of this franchise and the franchises and the teams that were champions. That group that I was a part of back in the 2000s that won a championship, and then the Bad Boys prior to that. You know that. And to me, when I watch them play as a group, they are embracing that identity. And so it's going to be interesting to watch come playoff time.
The other matchup in the Eastern Conference is the Pacers and the Bucks. Damian Lillard was out indefinitely. I don't think he'll be back. I would be very worried if he was back after the blood clot issue that he had. That would be very much rushing him back. But they do on Milwaukee have the best player in the series, Giannis Antetokounmpo, going up against a Pacers team who have really found their form as the season's progressed. Tyrese Haliburton is back to playing like an all NBA level player in the last few weeks. I don't know if we put so much stock into that because we've got to look at the A2 games as a whole. But who do you like for this series, fellas? BJ, let's start with you.
Indiana. I'm going to go with Indiana. And, you know, it's going to be very hard, even with Giannis, for the Milwaukee Bucks to figure out how to beat this team, minus an all-star caliber player like Damian Lillard. So I'm going to go with the Buck. I mean,
Yep.
I'm going to go with
If
the Indiana Pacers on this one.
Indiana won in 6 last year, but it was no Giannis. They did have Dame. And this year, the tables have turned. Scott, how about yourself? Who are you going with in this?
You know, Giannis is like Miami for me. Hard for me to pick
Yeah.
against Giannis. I'm a big fan of his, but not having the guard, the all-star guard, and Damian Lillard, it's probably going to be too much for this group to overcome. And I like, and Milwaukee's been playing fairly well here the last week or two. But I'm going to go with the home team. And they have experience as well, too. This team just went to the conference finals last year. And again, I like how they're playing as well heading into the playoffs. I'm going to side with the Pacers on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going with the Pacers. Maybe if the Bucks still had Chris Middleton instead of Kyle Kuzma, I would give them more of a chance, having a secondary scoring option. But I like what the Pacers have been doing of late, so I'm going to roll with Indiana as well. But over in the West, let's start with the Timberwolves and the Lakers, the 3-6 matchup, the Lakers being the 3 seed, Timberwolves being the 6 seed. Luka Doncic last year obviously hit that huge game-winning shot over Rudy Gobert. I know Rudy didn't want to face him in the playoffs again this year, but the Timberwolves are a different look. They're a different look now this year. They've made some changes to their roster. They've swapped Cat for Julius Randle. DiVincenzo came in as well. They're more experienced for some of their younger guys. And then the Lakers, obviously the mid-season trade for Luka Doncic. They're a new look team with a new coach this season as well. I think the Lakers will win this series, but I don't think it'll be as easy as everyone thinks. What do you guys think about that?
Another intriguing matchup. Then you're talking about contrasting rosters and styles and size. This Lakers team and both teams are playing well heading into the tournament. As so that you give each team a check for that in terms of how they're playing. The Lakers, you're going to see, are going to be playing with a smaller group though. So what's going to win out? The size of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Are the Lakers going to be able to play Rudy Gobert off the floor? Play LeBron some at the five. It'll be fascinating to watch that versus Minnesota being able to go big at times. They started he and Randle, but you can also go with Nas and Gobert. And so, from a size perspective, that you favor this Timberwolves team. With that.
And they've got the versatility to play five out with Naz Reid at the five.
Absolutely no question about it. And you can play with him at the five and Randle at the four. This is a tough team, Minnesota team. I've been high on this group, even though they've been up and down throughout the year. I like this team. But the Lakers have been great at home this year, too. And you've got, a generational player in LeBron James there who has been, a part of a multitude of series, as we know, and had a lot of, playoff experience. So nobody's going to be any more experienced on the court and with more basketball knowledge and IQ in this series than LeBron. And then Luka beat this team when he was part of the Mavericks last year. This is a tough one for me. It's not as a foregone conclusion. But I'll favor the Lakers slightly. I'm gonna favor the Lakers slightly in this series, just because I believe over the past couple months since the Luka trade, they've been just a little more consistent. Even though this Minnesota team is playing better, I like the consistency of the Lakers, even though I'm nervous about their lack of size, and that could really show up in this series. So I'm looking for a great one. Obviously, I'm pulling for Minnesota to play great though in this series, because I'd like to. This to me has the capability of going six, seven games as a series to me.
Yeah, they split the season series. Obviously, a lot of that was before the trade. The game after the trade, they only played once, and the Lakers won that. It 111 to 102. And Luka Doncic, only 21 points for him. That was a quiet night. But Austin Reaves gave them 23. He's been massively improved this season, and LeBron gave them 33. BJ, you're out there on the West Coast. All expectations are that the Lakers, now with Luka Doncic, make it to at least the conference finals, if not the NBA finals, if not win the whole thing. But how are you looking at this matchup? Because the intriguing part for me is Julius Randle matching up with LeBron James. Because Julius Randle, one of the few players who can maybe at this stage of LeBron's career match that strength and physicality that LeBron brings, that gives him an advantage playing that four spot over over a few guys. But as an athlete, I think Julius can match up with that. But how are you looking at this matchup?
Well, certainly, I think it's going to be a very entertaining series. And here's why I say that. I mean, you have the big names here in LA. You have LeBron James, you have Luka Doncic. And then on the other side, we have Anthony Edwards. So, that, check for Hollywood and all of the stars will be there. I'm gonna pick the Minnesota Timberwolves. And here's why I'm gonna pick them. The Lakers have kind of, after the trade, they've kind of, they, in some regards, they haven't really established the one thing that I'm really interested in watching them. What's going to happen down the stretch? Who are they actually just going to go to and put that ball in his hand? Are they going to put it in LeBron's hands? Are they going to put it in Luka's hands?
Or Austin Reeves, because they've gone to him down the
Okay.
stretch. But no, but you laugh. But down the stretch of a bunch of these games, they have given him the ball. I'm just saying what I've seen.
Okay. Well, we'll see. This let's not forget, this is Coach Reddick's first player, playoff series as a head coach. There are a lot of unanswered questions here with this group. And LeBron, he had the what groin injury. Luka's had some injuries here, and down the stretch, and they've put together somehow. With all of that going on, they finished third. So, give them credit. But this Minnesota team hasn't played well. And they've kind of, the sixth seed probably is, they feel a little, well, we probably were better than that, than the sixth seed,
I
especially
agree
coming
with
off of
that.
last year. At some point here, you think they're probably gonna play well, at least show up. And I think this has an opportunity in the playoffs, okay, to do that. Julius Randle, he's one of my favorite players because he's a tough kid. Anthony Edwards and company, I think they have an opportunity now to say, hey, we got through the regular season, we're here now, and let's play. So I think Minnesota and their depth, Naz Reid and DiVincenzo and all of these guys. If they're gonna find a way to make a little run, well, here we are. And I think they have an opportunity to do it. I think they have the depth. I think they can play big, they can play small, they can play on the perimeter, they can I think this team is probably built better for the playoffs than the regular season, because you need that lead guard to play downhill. They really don't have a lead guard to do that. But in the playoffs, I think they can match up, for instance, with the Austin Reaves. They have enough bodies to throw at him. Not that you're going to stop him, but I think you can play with him. I think the advantage that LeBron has with his physical strength, I don't, he's always going to have an advantage, but Julius Randle is strong enough and
Oh,
probably is
no
one of the
question.
few players that will entertain the physicality of that matchup. Okay. So I like this. I like it for Minnesota. And it would be good to see them, not at the Lakers' expense, but it'd be good to see them finally play to their potential, because I don't think they've really played to their potential this year. And some teams, as Scott knows, are better equipped to play in the playoffs. And I think this team, they had championship aspirations, okay? And they've made a trade. They haven't played to it for whatever the reason may be. But here's an opportunity for them to do it, and I think they have a good chance here in LA, kind of get settled, check out the palm trees a little bit, get out of the, you know,
Yeah, the
the,
palm trees.
yeah, check out the palm trees a little
I
bit.
love looking at the palm trees when I'm in LA.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things you love looking at when you're out here in LA. But I want to pick Minnesota, but I think it's going to be a good one. Can't count Luka out, but I'm really interested to see what's going to happen at crunch time. For this team, who are they going to go to? How they're going to
For the
play
Lakers.
for the Lakers? Yes,
It's
I
Luka's
want to
team
really
now.
see.
It's
Yeah, I really want
Luka's
to
team now.
see, and I just want to see how they all, they live in that.
This is I think the ball's personally will end up in Luka's hands if it's down to the final shot. It won't be Austin Reaves, even though Mo, like you mentioned, that he's had some situations where he's scored the basket. But to me, that's Luka's younger. That's all he really knows. We know LeBron has been that guy for a number of years, but from what I've seen thus far, again, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. He's been more willing of the two to get off of it. And I think the ball's
Yeah,
gonna end up in Lucas'
I
hands. But
just
to
think
BJ's point, we gotta see it in real time. But that's my
the
opinion
advantage
on
of
it.
having Luka
That's
though
just my opinion on it.
is he's very difficult for this Timberwolves team to guard. Like you said, Julius can match the physicality of LeBron. I'm not saying that he can shut him down, but he can match the physicality. Whereas Luka is kind of too big and strong for guys like McDaniels and Edwards, as good as they are defensively. He kind of has the advantage in that. And this is what I like talking about crunch time is the Lakers have two, maybe three options that they can go to down the stretch that can self-create and get themselves a shot when they need one. The Timberwolves, when you look at their best five, is really only Anthony Edwards, maybe Julius Randle that can do that. So I'm favoring the Lakers in this one if it's close, but I'm more intrigued by the 4-5 matchup in the Western Conference between the Denver Nuggets and the LA Clippers. Both teams went 50 and 32 this season. The Clippers surpassed everyone's expectations and proved themselves right, saying that they don't need Paul George. There's been great seasons for, James Harden and Avisa Zubac and Norman Powell, and now Kawhi's come back looking healthy, and fingers crossed he can stay healthy. But the Denver Nuggets, they have the best player in the world in Nikola Jokic. They have Russell Westbrook, who is a huge signing for them, out surpassed every expectation I think people could have put on him. And Jamal Murray, well, he's not had a great regular season, but in the playoffs, he turns into a different person. So if that happens again, how are you guys looking at this series? Scott, who are you picking in the 4-5 matchup out West?
Well, alluded to a little bit earlier. I like how this Clippers team is playing right now. I like how they're defending. I mentioned that about James Harden's playing as good a defense as I've seen him throughout his career. Like the health of Kawhi Leonard. He is sharp. He's a tough matchup for anyone. And he may not be the best player on the floor because Denver has Nikola Jokic, but he's going to be chomping his heels to be the best performer on that court in that series. And then, like I said, Harden is playing great. I like the defensive mindset. And there just seems to be more stability with this Clippers group. We just had a big coaching change here in Denver. And obviously, for that to happen at this stage, you just get a sense that something wasn't right. That everybody wasn't on the same page. That's obvious to me for a decision of that magnitude to go down and happen like that. And so I don't know if it's enough time. Now, usually, you can get a bump. We saw him win the first game out in Coach Adelman's career. But I'm going to go with the I'm going to go with the Clippers. I like Ty Lue's experience in this situation. He's a world champion head coach, and I think this is going to be a real chess match. It's going to be highly competitive. This is another series to me that I definitely see going six or seven games, due to the greatness of Nikola Jokic on the one side of Denver, but then also the Clippers in terms of the consistency they've been playing with here, especially the past couple months of the season. And I like the depth. I like their depth on the team. No, and we haven't even talked about Norman Powell yet. What a year he's had. And so I just like this Clippers team and their depth and their willingness to use different parts. And I think the depth is going to, or lack of depth is going to catch up to the Denver Nuggets in this series. So give me the Clippers.
BJ, it's been well documented on this show the technological difficulties you have in trying to enter the Clippers arena. But do you think they'll have any difficulties in this series?
Well, here's the big question. The health, what is the health situation of Kawhi Leonard? If Kawhi Leonard is healthy, you have to pick the Clippers. They look fantastic. And first of all, let's give James Harden credit. James Harden had an amazing year. Kind of one of those years that, was kind of went under the radar. His leadership this year was incredible. What he was able to do, I think he played, what, 79 or 80 games or so.
79 games, putting up
Or
23
so.
points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, a steal and a half, and almost a block a game.
And defensively, this is where this team has really made strides. I mean, Zubac now is potentially Defensive Player of the Year.
He led the NBA in rebounds, and my favorite stat, he led the NBA in hook shots.
Right. He really provided stability on the defensive end. James Harden's effort. I've been watching James Harden for quite some time. I can go all the way back to his days at Arizona State. This is the best I've seen him play.
And
You
that's a
know,
big statement
and
considering he's won an MVP
this
before.
is the best I've seen him play.
Because he's
And
playing both sides. He's so well-rounded this year.
yeah,
You know what I mean?
and his playmaking, and he, you know, I don't think he's ever gotten credit for this, but his leadership and what he was able to do this year. He really stepped in and filled that void for this organization. Kawhi, we didn't know the health of Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. You know, he shouldered that. He shouldered it. He was great. So I'm going to give them and their coaching staff, in particular, you know, Ty Lue deserves all the credit. We know what Ty Lue has done. He's done it. But Jeff Van Gundy has come over there on the defensive end. And they are playing extremely hard on that end. So I'm going to give the Clippers more than a chance. I think they have the better team, even over Jokic. And you can't say that. I mean, Jokic is Jokic, but there's been so much change, and I don't know what's going to happen with this group. You know, once they get down there, you know, as you know, and when you play in a series. Your coaching staff is going to have to win one of those games. I don't know what to think about what's going on there in Denver. They very well could do it. They certainly have the talent to do it anytime Jokic is on the floor. But I think depth, if everything plays out and it, you know, with you know, the players that are available, I think the Clippers have a more than better chance to win this series. And I'm picking the Clippers if everyone is healthy.
I'm also picking the Clippers. You know, I've said a couple of times recently that I think the Nuggets could lose in this first round. And, you know, Jokic is obviously the best player in the world and he's out there on the court. But when Kawhi Leonard is healthy, and people don't really remember this because it's been a real long time before he had a healthy playoff run, he's not bad himself when it comes to playoff basketball.
No.
It's going to be very hard for them to match up with the Clippers defensively with Kawhi, James Harden, and Norman Powell all being very good scorers of the basketball. Ivica Zubac matching up with Jokic is no one can guard Jokic, but Ivica Zubac can do as good a job as anyone can wish to. You know, he's got the size to match up with him. He won't be easily punished by that strength advantage that Jokic has against most guys he goes up against. So I'm very, very intrigued by this playoff matchup. I'm going to pick the Clippers in this one. It could be a long series, but the way they've been playing recently, I think they're closing the season on an 8-game win streak, and it's going to be exciting. And I just hope that Kawhi can stay healthy for this series and any series that come after that. But that's the preview. And then this week we've got the playing games, which will be breaking them down. And then once those 2-7 matchups and the 1-8 matchups are set as well, we'll have a little look and see if there are any surprises waiting in those. In those, you know, meetings in the playoffs. But for you guys who are regular listeners, we're going back to our old way of doing things. The episodes will be out 7:30 a.m. UK time before anyone else. I don't know if that makes us the worldwide leader in sports or if we can't claim that title yet, but we'll have the shows ready to go. You know, want to thank all you guys who tune in, and we're just getting started because these play-ins and playoffs are going to be very exciting. So subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for an amazing regular season. And it's time for the playoffs. So you know what that means. There's only one thing left to do. Get buckets.